I've got things pretty well wrote out this morning because I'm not sure if I can live above my emotions this morning or not. But kind of woke up this morning, man, I was raring to preach, and I think I still am. I don't know if you recognize that picture. I was from the top of Pisgah. I don't know why I have that picture on there. I needed a fall picture. But it's been part of our experience here in Canton. At a recent elders meeting, our newest elder and one of our youngest elder, Ryan Heimbach, had this to say. Pay attention to it. These kind of sending announcements should be normal, unsurprising, and expected in the church as followers of Jesus are obedient to the Lord's call and will for their lives. The interesting thing about Ryan is, as far as I can deduce, Ryan is the first elder of this church who was born here and spent his entire life here and never went anywhere else. And yet he still has this kind of a mindset and vision. These kind of sending announcements should be normal, unsurprising, and expected in the church as followers of Jesus are obedient to the Lord's call and will for their lives. If you don't remember anything else I say today, remember that. So you've seen that those few words around here a lot the last 5 or 6 years, and that came out of the ministry committee that numbers of you were on back before we started the building project. Ministering Jesus is everything, and I just want to take a couple minutes of opening the Word this morning, and I don't want to share my heart with you, but I want to answer the why. Why is that so important? Are these showing up all right? I decided to do something different and take pictures out of my Bible. You can see that all right? Okay. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This has become a really key verse for the elders as we've sought to understand the Lord's leading for this season and for the next new exciting season at North Street Community. The reason is because we, all of humanity, each of us individually, as are God's workmanship. He created us. He gifted us. And He sends us to do what He's prepared in advance for us to do. So the question is, who wants to get in the way of that calling? Who wants to get in the way of that? Well, actually, we've all gotten in the way of that. You know, even back in Eden, that creation, Adam and Eve got in the way of what God had created them for, to bear, to represent the image and likeness of God throughout the earth. And basically, you're going to get a lot of reruns of stuff I've talked a lot about. But they became selfish. And they became their own gods, and they did what they wanted. And all of humanity since then has taken on that same sinful, selfish nature. And now Paul, the Apostle Paul here in Ephesians, is saying in Ephesians 2 that in Jesus, we are now restored to our original design and purpose for the glory of God. And He has planned things for us to do and bringing His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So we are recreated, we're reborn in Christ Jesus, who is love, and because of love, Jesus on the cross paid the debt for our sin and our selfishness. Jesus went into the grave and He rose from the dead by the power of God. And then the glorified Jesus ascended into heaven to intercede for His church. And then He did something so incredible. Jesus poured out His Spirit, His life, on the church. And that fresh breath of the Spirit of Jesus gives new life and ability and purpose for those who repent and turn around. It literally means just start thinking a new way. And Ben already pointed that out in Romans 12:2 this morning. Being transformed in our thinking, we're thinking about a different thing in a different way. And so we're no longer thinking selfishly, but trusting and believing in Jesus for our created, our identity, redeemed and restored to do the works that God had prepared in advance for us to do. What are those works? That's the next question, right? What are those works? Well, let's go back to the beginning. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. We're created in the image and likeness of God. And then God did something more. He said, it says that God blessed them. God didn't curse humanity. God blessed us. And he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. Fill the earth. Be fruitful and multiply what? Multiply the image and likeness of God on the earth. Fill the whole earth with the image of God. Fill the whole earth with the glory and the love of God. Filling the whole earth is a lot of sending, isn't it? Filling the whole earth is a lot of sending. So to do what we were created to do, to represent God on the earth, requires following the perfect one, Jesus. Jesus is the one who paid the price to buy us back for God. To do what God had originally intended for us to do, what he had created for us to do. That's an amazing truth, that Jesus bought us back to be image bearers, to fill the earth with the glory and the love of God. But in saying all that, you know what? There's a cost to following Jesus. I'd like to share some of that cost as Jesus speaks in Luke 9. Luke 9 says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I don't know when I made these notes in my Bible, but basically there's a material cost to following Jesus. Why? Because what we're about begins to change. We're working for a different kingdom. Jesus, he said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. There's an emotional cost to following Jesus. And still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. There's a relational cost to following Jesus. And you know what? That cost can not just be for the follower, but actually for all those people who have relationships with the follower. My translation of this passage is Jesus is saying, if you're following me, it means living for a different kingdom, a new kingdom, God's kingdom. And then we go into the next verses Ben already read this morning. Luke 10, 1-2. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I don't know if you remember. Some of you don't because you weren't here. It's probably been 6 or 7 years ago. I preached a message from Matthew 13. This one, go back there. It's real quick. Like, why is this so important to Jesus to send out workers into the harvest field? Well, my interpretation of Matthew 13, 44, a little story that Jesus told, this is what it says. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went out and sold all he had and bought that field. The previous verses, it says that the field is the world, and Jesus is the one who bought the field. That's my interpretation. Jesus is the one who bought the field. If the field is the world, Jesus bought the field when he went to the cross. And that just helps me really understand why it's so important to Jesus that workers be sent out into the harvest fields, because the harvest is ripe, because it's the gospel seeds that bring about the harvest. That's the only thing that brings the harvest, is the gospel seeds. And Jesus already bought the field, and he's saying, church, those of you who are following me, I need you. I need you to pray the prayer that the Lord would send out workers into the harvest. The harvest is important to Jesus because his gospel seeds bring the increase. He brings the increase. I love driving around this time of the year and looking at the harvest. But you know what? That's all it is for me anymore, since I don't farm anymore. It's somebody else's harvest. It's fun to look at, but I kind of live kind of surrounded by Goodview Farm. And that harvest is their harvest. And it's important to them because they've made the investment. That's the way it is with Jesus. Can we get that picture, church, that Jesus bought the field, it's his harvest, and he is passionate about the harvest. And then he's inviting us. He's inviting his followers to pray. Pray to send out workers into the harvest. And you see the question I have. Am I ready to pray the prayer? Are we ready to pray that prayer? At some point, I had to decide, and Karen had to decide, and you have to decide, are we ready to pray the prayer? As a follower of Jesus with our attentions on his kingdom, in other words, representing the king, are we ready to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field? As Kagan already pointed out, God answers prayer, right? We believe that, right? Do we believe that? So if God answers prayer and we believe that and we pray the prayer, then we've got to be okay with God answers. Is that fair? And what if he answers by sending me or you or our children or a friend or our pastor or our grandchildren or our Sunday school teacher? You know, and maybe you can even like think a little devious about this. You never know if you pray the prayer, God might even send somebody that you really want sent far away. You never know. You guys like that thought, don't you? What was God's created purpose for humanity? To have people created in his likeness and image fill the whole earth with the glory and the love of God. And we have been recreated. We've been reborn in Christ Jesus as image bearers of God for that same purpose. To do the works prepared in advance for us to do. So the question is, are you ready to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers? Big question. That's the preaching part. Some of you have been part of North Street Community Church for a number of years, know that Karen and I used to dairy farm in Belleville, PA, south of State College. And at some point in the early 2000s, God began a work in our hearts to call us in a new direction, which aligned with his plans and purposes for our lives. And eventually that began a discerning process with the elders of then Camp Mennonite Church back in 2009 as coming here to serve the church as pastor. And the cows and the machinery were sold, and we moved north. And if you check your mailboxes today and you maybe saw an email or something, there's actually a farm sale coming up here in about a month. And I would just say, bless the McMurrays by getting involved and helping with their food stand. There's something about, and Mike's been through this, Mike and Teresa, but there's something about an auction when you're selling your cows and your machinery and stuff that, man, just having other people come in to help and support in that is huge. So I would just say, if you can get involved in the McMurrays food stand, that'd be great. That was a little aside there. So, in a lot of ways, sharing our call to be sent with you today reminds us of those conversations. Should have kept preaching. Reminds us of those conversations that we needed to have with our parents and our children and our friends and our church family when God called us here to Canton. How do you tell the people that are closest to you that God is calling you to leave them and go do life and ministry with people you don't even know? And did that mean that the people we didn't know then, which would be actually all of you who we've come to love, were more important than our family and friends? Well, no, it simply meant being obedient to what we knew God was calling us to do. Does that make sense? Last week in the Gathering Place classroom, there was written on the whiteboard, obedience will lead you into places you've never imagined. I'd actually have to say I wholeheartedly agree with that statement. I never imagined the life that Karen and I would have the opportunity to live and share in the past 10 years with all of you. What a ride. In the summer of 2017, I sensed the Lord begin stirring in me that 10 years was the time that he had for Karen and I to be here in the Canton community and serve as a pastor here at North Street. It was that same kind of stirring that I experienced when God began the process of sending us here. And that can be hard to explain, but all I can say is I know that I trust his voice. After a few months, I began processing what I was sensing with Karen, and then we sought some counsel, and finally, late in the spring of 2018, shared with your elders and their wives that God was preparing to send Karen and I into something else, onto something else, and building God's kingdom. I need to say just how blessed you are as a church to have godly, passionate, responsive elders who take their calling seriously. The health and spiritual vitality of you, the church, is of high importance to them. And after Karen and I shared our hearts with your elders that evening, their immediate response was, let's get ready. Let's get ready for you to be sent. And they have been seeking the Lord and working diligently to that end since that day. And I'm just going to deviate from my notes here for a second. Because you may be thinking, like, maybe we should have known before. That's always the question in these kinds of sendings. When's the right time to invite the entire congregation into the process? Through seeking the Lord, we decided today was the time to invite everyone into that process. And rightly or wrongly, that's what we sensed as we have worked for the last year or so. I have full confidence in all of the 8 pastor elders here at North Street and the plurality of leadership which they bring. And I have even more confidence in the God who called and gifted each of them and gave them his spirit of love and wisdom for this season. You as a church can be thankful you are blessed. So what's next for Karen and I? It would probably feel a whole lot better if I could just stand here and say, this is exactly what's happening. But we didn't know that when we came here. There's much we don't know. It actually seems very similar to when we were sent here to Canton. So we have some ideas of what the next season could look like, but we're just going to have to trust the Lord to make the way clear. We know he asked us to be sent, not so much about where to go. So we hope to start by making Belleville, PA, our home base. That's where our parents and children and grandchildren live. And hopefully Karen can have more time to take care of parents as needed, being grandma to our 6 grandchildren, and do some of the little things that make life flow easier for our busy married children. I hope to continue in working in the recalibration revitalization role with CMC at least for a while. That was actually a role that took me by surprise about a year after I sensed God was sending us on to something new. And that recalibration catalyst work has been deeply satisfying in helping other churches begin to find ways of understanding afresh their purpose as part of the body of Christ and to contribute building in new ways, kingdom building in new ways, or maybe helping them to refocus. I wanted to share for your encouragement part of an email that I received from a pastor recently after spending a weekend with the church that he pastors. He says, "Thank you for all your insight and having the courage to serve us in this way. I'm sure it might be a challenge, but it really is a powerful help to the body of Christ. I only pray that Christ richly rewards you both for giving of your time and for serving." Now catch this. "And that he also blesses the church at North Street for their generosity to the larger body of Christ. Be sure to thank the other leaders at North Street. It takes a lot of vision to see beyond your own church walls and to reach out." North Street, don't lose that vision. Don't lose that big vision. Even as you care for each other here locally, keep the bigger kingdom of God vision. So hopefully I can continue in this recalibration ministry with CMC for the time being. I actually just started taking a class on healthy congregations and have this thought in my mind that maybe I'll get involved in some interim pastor work, which basically means pastoring churches between pastors, if that makes any sense. I deeply love and believe in the local church, and so does our Heavenly Father. But in all honesty, we simply don't know what the next season has in store. Just like when we were sent here, we are simply trying to be obedient, faithful Jesus followers and listen to His voice. Again, we're not sure, but it seems like this new season may require Karen and I to be apart more. It may require more travel and us having different schedules, and that would be different for us. So we really need you to pray for us. We want to invite you into praying for us. We need that. I'll just be specific for a couple things. Pray that we would glorify God and bear His image and represent Him well, because that's what we were created for, and that's what Jesus bought us back for. Pray that we would be faithful to what He asked. And Keegan already talked about trust, man. Just pray that we could trust. When I was sharing with your elders here a year and a half ago about this direction we were feeling, one of the things I said to them is, I don't really feel like having to trust again as much as it took when we moved here. And yet God has blessed us and He's been faithful. And so we trust Him. Just pray that we could continue to live out of trust. Pray that we could live out of a faithful, measured response and not reaction. And pray for the simple things like that our house in East Canton would sell. And then we will continue praying for you as a church, as you prepare to enter into an exciting new season as a unique part of the body of Christ here in Bradford and Tioga County. I can't wait to see what God has in store for all of you as you continue to bring Him glory. I'm almost done. A couple years ago, at a pastor's conference, one of the speakers made the statement, "Until some of us as senior pastors are willing to be sent, our congregations will not catch that vision." Church, I want you to catch the vision of being sent. Yes, we are learning to have a sending mindset with our children into the schools, and we're sending into the workplace, and we're sending reachers, but filling the whole earth is going to take some of us being willing to be sent a little farther and a little longer and into difficult situations. And I dream of the day when North Street Community Church in Canton, Pennsylvania, sends some of its own families into those places long term. And you as a church can be the strong hands that hold them up in support and prayer. That's my dream. When we were sent here to Canton, as difficult as it was for our family and our friends and church family to send us off, they supported us. We felt sent by them with their blessing, despite the cost. Karen and I would humbly ask that you could bless us in the same way as we are sent on to the next season, to the next work that God has prepared in advance for us to do. Karen and I love you all. But Jesus loves you more. You are his body, and he is your head. We look forward to enjoying these last months we have ministering Jesus together and building his kingdom on earth. And we look forward to what God has planned for the next season of North Street Community Church. And we know it will be good, because the God you love and serve, and the God who loves you, the God who bought you, redeemed you with the blood of his Son, he is a good God, and he's a faithful God, and you can trust him. Thanks, church. I think Todd has something he wants to share.
Next for us at North Street. So in 2 weeks from today, we're going to be going over that with all of you, what God has laid on our hearts and what we've discerned and sought his face for. And I'm pretty excited about the way he did that. When sometimes things seem hard and, you know, not impossible, but God, what's going on, that he was faithful and he. So we're going to share that with you in 2 weeks. I've had a million thoughts. I told Darren this morning I can't slow my mind down this morning. But what Keegan mentioned this morning about trust, my life verse is that God gave me when I was 18 years old. It's very applicable at this time for each of us and for Darren and Karen as they go. And he's already it's already been mentioned this morning about trusting. And Psalm 125 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord will surround his people from this time forth and forevermore. So I'm crying because I'm just an emotional person. I love Darren and Karen, but I'm excited for what God's doing and what he's going to do here at North Street. And so I just want to have a word of prayer now. And like I said, just remember in 2 weeks, we're going to talk more about this. And hopefully a lot of your questions are going to be answered. And following that time in 2 weeks, I'd ask that you would please, rather than bombard us with a lot of questions in the next couple of weeks, wait till that Sunday, and then you'll have paperwork to look at, and then we can, anytime any one of us elders, we'll just, you know, can spend time with you talking. And so let's just have a word of prayer now. Lord, we humbly bow before you this morning. I thank you for the way you move among your servants. You've called us, Lord, to live in your light. You called us out of darkness, each one of us, God, from many different walks of life. You've delivered us from the power of Satan, and we rejoice in that this morning. God, we rejoice in what you're doing in the world. As Brother Gordon mentioned last week, Father, that I believe you are going to do the greatest works in the coming years that the world has ever seen in your church, that many, many more will come to know you as Lord and Savior and spend eternity with you. So God, we want to be about harvesting. We want to be about loving you and spending eternity with you and bringing along those, God, who still need to hear. Father, we just ask your mercy and your continued wisdom and guidance as we seek your face. We thank you for what you're going to do in the days ahead in the world here at North Street through Darren and Karen's life. I just ask your blessing on them, God, in the next couple months for continued clarity, for peace. Just bless them real well, Lord. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for what you've done, and more importantly, God, what you're going to do in the days ahead. We entrust our lives to you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.